in the, and nobody been in the Navy here today. No. You know those nautical guys when they get on the course and they say, steady as she goes. You want to stay on the course. Once you get all that stuff lined up and you're cruising along good, steady as she goes. Well, I entitled my message today, Stay the Course. Can you spot a liar? Can you detect whether somebody is telling you the truth or not? I think most of us unconsciously have been able to detect a lie without consciously knowing why. We just have that feeling. You know, the thing that we have in our spirit is called a conscience, and we just say, I don't know. Jesus said to test the spirit and make sure it's of me. He told us that over in John's Gospel. Those who study lying, and there's an art studying lies. There's a fellow that wrote a big report about it, and I picked it up, and his name is Paul Eichmann. Pathological liars, psychopaths, and natural liars, he says. How can we tell natural liars from pathological liars and psychopaths? You can find him. He's PaulEichmann.com. You can look at his blog. But it's interesting is times have changed, but human nature's never changed. So those who's like Paul that studies lying say that if you or I tell a fib, we'll reveal ourselves easier alone by our facial expression. Most people are terrible liars. And that's a good thing, I think. A few get better at it as a matter of course. But like any gift, some have a natural gift of lying. Now, you know, think about that when we think about the spiritual gifts and so forth. But there's a gift that people have. These kind of people often see lying not as deceptive, but simply an opportunity, maybe even as a part of their job in a sense, or, you know, writers and actors and advertisers. You know, we come up with the law of truth in advertising. I don't know why we did that. It must be because some of the advertisers aren't truthful with advertising their product. Well, sometimes they create an alternative truth that they present to others for the benefit of telling a story. Now, these kinds of lies are what we might call white lies. And now they're not really harmful, or are they? In some cases, we appreciate them even as art. Some blatant white lies are socially acceptable as well. I'll give you an example. You wouldn't tell your friend that you don't like her haircut, or you wouldn't tell your friend you don't like her car. Oh, and you don't want to be able to ignore her and not celebrate and enter into the joy of his or her life. And my wife, she's not here, so I can tell this story. My sister Janet had one of those cars that resembled Chrysler made it and looked like the old-timey cars. And, yeah, and it was my sister bought one of them new, and we went up to see her. She was so proud of it. Judy, let me show you my car. Judy, that's the ugliest car I've ever seen in my life. Now, she shouldn't have done that. I think she could have. Anyhow, Janet never forgiven her for that. Anyhow, everybody sometimes is confronted with multiple lies every single day. And while most are unintentional or unharmful, others can deliberately deceive, be divisive, or even divisive. Natural liars may be harmless or worrisome. And they're harder to detect, like the wolf in the famous story of Red Riding Hood. Some lies can appear to be honest and sweet and gentle and helpful and even familiar, while hiding a wolf's deceptive heart inside. Psychologists distinguish between natural liars and psychopathic liars in some significant ways. While natural liars feel confident about their ability to lie well, they don't use their ability to lie to harm others. They fear being caught and experience guilt or stress when identified. Or they accept their lies as a matter of course and a harmless part of life. Natural liars flock to many kinds of professions, such as acting and sales and law and diplomacy and political realm. Often their gift can contribute to their success. Psychological liars and psychopathic liars, on the other hand, can be very dangerous. Why? Because they lack empathy, they lack guilt, they lack remorse, and they show no facial expressions. They don't look away. They are difficult to discern and more difficult to catch because they themselves feel no guilt, no pity, no regret. They typically fool experts even, pass polygraph tests without a problem because they don't feel that inner twinge, no problematic conflict within themselves. They don't feel anything. They can lie without reason or goal or purpose. Psychopathic lies are the most dangerous kind of deceivers in the world. They embody lying as a mode of being. Unfortunately, there are such unfortunates. That's like the unforgivable sin. If you worry that you committed the unforgivable sin, no longer worry, because if you worried about it, you haven't done it. But there are some people that can shut God completely out of their life. And that's the only sin that can be forgiven. When they finally get to a point that they've shut God completely out of their life, they're not making themselves available for the grace and love and forgiveness that we experience. The entire life to them is a lie. And that's the kind of lying. You say, okay, preacher, what's all this about lying and stealing and cheating and not about the scripture? Well, Jesus warns us to stay away from that. Remember that shifty serpent who approached Eve? Notice I say Eve and Adam rather than Adam and Eve. Eve got approached first in the Garden of Eden. Remember in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. The first Adam missed the lie. Jesus, the second Adam, saw it for what it was. So what's the difference? Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing gets by Jesus. Jesus had many things of experience, a whole bunch of stuff in identifying liars all through Scripture. And they know that he can see through them. Look at the demons who feared him in Gerasene. And look at the Pharisees who tried to challenge him and trip him up in almost everything that he did, every path. Look how he recognized Judas' deceit before Judas betrayed him. Jesus is adept at recognizing liars because he sees into our hearts. Now, we can trust Jesus to guide us when we are confronted by lies. That's what it was saying in Scripture, that whenever you're hauled before the thing, don't worry about it, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words, Jesus said, to protect and to identify. So the Scripture today, when Jesus tells his disciples to be careful not to be led astray, he's warning them about liars, skilled liars, hard to identify liars, liars that are masked as good people, liars who come in the very name of Jesus. But he say, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord, that I know them. These are people who say they know something that you don't sometimes, who challenge your faith or your focus, or even say, well, I'm going to tell you a better way. So how does Jesus train his disciples 2,000 years ago and to train us, modern day disciples, to recognize and avoid liars? Even preachers, some preachers, not so good, you know, and you have to test the spirit and to make sure. That's why I always encourage people when I'm reading scripture or something like that, check it out. Check it out. Don't believe just because I said it and I'm a preacher. Check it out for yourself. Now, I would never, best of my ability, lead you astray on anything when it would pertain to faith or scriptures or anything like that, but you know, sometimes I make mistakes and I mispronounce words, and, you know, I'm always say, hey, preacher, I'm not sure about this or that. I'm open for that, to be accountable. His advice was to his disciples then, as it is now, don't look away. Focus on the mission, or focus on the gospel. Profess Jesus as truth, and stay the course. Study as she goes. And do not spend your time imagining what is to come. Do not plan. Judy always says, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Do not plot. Do not prophesy. And all that means is foretelling the future, basically, or prophesying is really preaching. Do not fret. And don't put your trust in the constructs, rules, or earthly temptations. Simply testify to what you know and what you have experienced in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why it's a personal relationship. You know, I know what I was like before Christ came into my life. Nobody has to tell me. Trust in the personhood of Christ and proclaim that good news. Testify to his identity. Testify to his truth. Testify to his resurrection. Because without the resurrection, we would just be another dead sect, another dead religion. But because of the resurrection, where Christ broke that bondage over sin and death and was seen by many and also promised to come back. We're looking forward to that day. Testify to the message, to those who attack you, contradict you, or disbelieve you. They cannot harm you. Nobody knows your inner self like God. I know that's Tina. But I can tell by looking at it, but I have to trust that Tina told me everything about her, that I have to trust that she is Tina. You know? But that's one thing about our personal relationship with God. That's why he said, go into your prayer closet when you want to pray. I already know everything about you. Just pour your heart out to me. I know you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You can stay the course. I love that little song. In fact, we don't ever sing the whole song, just the chorus. As you know, I'm a singing preacher. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see, Jesus recognizes both then with the disciples then and now that life will be full of challenges. Life is full of lies and chaos and storms. We just had one. The course will be rough. It'll be rocky. It'll be turbulent. And staying the course and being loyal to Jesus is not an unpopular decision, even though it's a dangerous decision. Jesus assured his disciples, and he assures us today, 2,000 and some years later, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, to trust, have faith, and loyalty that he will secure us to the end if they will only stay the course. I did. I looked all around on my body, and I cannot find an expiration date. I don't know when I'm going to leave this earth. Unless the Lord comes for us first, we're all going to experience physical death. But what would you do if you didn't have hope that there's something much better ahead? We'd be miserable. I don't want to be miserable. I hang my hat on the blessed hope that Jesus Christ, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, has promised us eternal salvation. If we only believe. Confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you'll be saved. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just think for a moment that you're entering into a Hall of Merits. Now, I don't know, I haven't been to the fair, but I know some of those fairs sometimes or circuses, they have those little rooms where you go into the Hall of Mirrors. You ever been in them? It's crazy. You enter into that Hall of Mirrors and you hope that you know the path will be filled with deception. At least you realize that before you go in, because you can't trust your eyes. You cannot trust those who tell you which way to go and this is the way out. You cannot trust those You can only keep your inner eyes steady, trusting that you will find your way through that maze and come out on the other side. You've got to stay the course. That's what it's like for us who call ourselves Christians, Christ followers. Navigating in a world today that we live in filled with deceptions and distraction and lies, you'll inevitably be tempted to give up. There's nothing to do. What's the promises coming? He keeps saying he's coming back and he's coming back. Where is he? It is by faith. Now, you may imagine you see your path only to be faced with yet another false image of things. Close your eyes. Trust Jesus to be your guide, and I guarantee you, he will lead you through. So we Christians, those with faith, need to trust our inner eye, our intuitive knowledge that faith affords to us, that allows us to trust and to walk forward with our eyes closed and our sight clear. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is not seeing the path in front of us. Faith is trusting that the path will be there when we dare to take our first step. Faith is a feeling that lets us know that truth is not something that we see, but something we've built, something tangible and something sure. Faith is knowing that Christ is there and trusting in his presence even when things get tough. Friend of a friend. I think we all have a friend of a friend somewhere in our life. A friend of a friend asks their friends to join them. Everybody been on a white rafting trip? You ever done that? I always thought I'd like to. But now that I think about it, I don't know if I would or not. Anyhow, they invited them to go on a rafting trip down the rapids. They all wore their waterproof vests. They took provisions. They learned the greatest rule of whitewater rafting. And that rule is never let go of the raft. No matter what happens, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how inviting the shoreline looks and you just want to jump off, or maybe even how easy it would be to jump off, never let go of the raft. Stay the course. I think it goes with skiing the same way. You better stay on your skis. So the only way you'll survive this whitewater rafting is to stay the course. You ever watch some of the videos? That's why I'm thinking, I don't think I ever want to try that. They hit rocks. The raft begins to weave and pitch from one side to the other, thrown between the rapids. As they approach that waterfall with fear and trepidation, and while fear gripped them and they longed to jump out, remember the voice of the coach. No matter what happens, never let go of the raft. Keep your eyes ahead. Focus on the path. Stay the course. Down they went. And for a moment, it felt like the raft was flying aimlessly through the air. They gripped the side of the raft. They closed their eyes, and then they felt the impact of the raft plunge into the cascade. And down they slid, fast and furiously. Then at last, they were streaming down the river towards their destination. Sometimes the world can feel as chaotic as it is, frightening as that rafting trip. And sometimes we can feel there must be an easier way for this thing called life. And sometimes we would like to believe that those voices that tell us that they know the way, the answer in the future. There's a song, we were coming on Thomasville Road the other day, we was waiting at the red light and I looked up and I said, you want to know your future? I have 28 years of reading palms or hands and all that, and I can tell the future, come on in. They're sure, I guess. They're sure of their readings, they're sure of their view. And in those times, I always like to say, remember Jesus' voice. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. hear my voice and follow my lead. He speaks to us through Scripture. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we confuse it with our conscience, but a lot of times, if we're doing something we don't need to be doing, nobody has to come up and tap you on the shoulder. You kind of know. You kind of know what's right and what's wrong. He programmed us that way. But we can block it out. We can just go on. Oh, no, I think I'll do it my way. Proclaim his message. Trust in the Lord. There is no other way. Keep your eyes on me, Jesus said, and testify to my truth, and hold on tight and never let go. In this world, he said, you're going to have trials and tribulations. And boy, do we get them. He said, but then fear not, for I have overcome the world. Stay the course. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this little church, and we thank you for the history of many people who have been through this way before us and left a heritage and left us with a lot of hope and faith that this thing that we call the gospel is true. It is personal. And we're the only ones that really, 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 truly know that we can have a relationship with the living God through Christ. And all we got to do is open up our heart and let him in. What a blessing to know that we're not here alone. We're here for a purpose and a meaning. And it's amazing how we go through this life with all the different gifts and graces that he's given to us. And we get this thing all figured out. And we finally get life figured out. And we do this and then we retire and everything is hunky-dory. And yeah, I got this, Lord. I got this life. I'm pretty good. And then he'll call us home. Because he wants well-trained saints in heaven to return with him to set up his kingdom. You can find that in the little book of Jude. Only one chapter. 26 verses, I think. That's what we have is eternal life. It's a blessing to know that, yeah, we're just in this little temporary thing, this tent that we call a body. It's only temporary because the real you that lives deep down inside is full of joy and love and grace, just the way he created us. Oh, the outside body sometimes don't want to cooperate. But the real you that lives deep down inside, your spirit that connects with God's Holy Spirit, just lets you know there's something much better ahead. I think that's God's way of letting us know that we have eternal life. Because deep inside, we're still young and fresh and alive. But this old outside body just, you wouldn't want to take this body to heaven anyhow. Because he's going to give us a new body, a spiritual body, and we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And my prayer is that everybody within the sound of my voice this morning knows this Savior, knows this Jesus that we've been talking about, getting to know them. Listen to that song on the way over here this morning. What a friend you have in Jesus. He is your only true friend. God bless you as you go.